So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
WGN, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon, filling in for Justin Kaufman. And Rob Siptoewicz is totally fine, but I love that segue that he did into the news.
That was amazing.
Yeah, talking more and more right to more carjackings. That was pretty skillful. That's what you don't get.
That is a news professional
that
right
there. That is a professional Rob Martier. Also a professional sitting across from me and dressed the most professional out of any of us tonight. Yeah. You do understand, Jason, that this is a radio interview. You look so good here for this Friday night.
I thought I'd wear my principal costume today.
Oh, there you go.
We have Jason Patera, who is the head of school at the Chicago Academy for the Arts, which is an independent school for visual arts, dancers, musicians, filmmakers, writers, animators, and actors, which is incredible, an opportunity for these kids to be able to get to do this stuff. But you have a really cool story, Jason, because you're the head of school right now. But you came across the school when, what, you were 16, right?
16 years old. Yeah, John and Esmeralda, thanks for having me on the show. I grew up listening to WGN, and this is really exciting to be here.
Awesome.
I was 16 years old, and I was totally going to be a rock star. I had long hair. I had all these earrings. I had this red Mustang.
Were you in a band?
Oh, yeah.
What was the name of it?
I can't tell you.
Really? Is it not good?
It was called Odyssey.
Oh, Odyssey. Mm-hmm.
We were awesome.
You were the lead singer?
No. I was the drummer.
Oh.
I was the drummer, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I had this long hair. I had these earrings and this rock and roll attitude. And I was totally going to be in U2 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I had this super cool job. I worked at a music shop in you know, a few blocks from my house. We had guitars and drums and stuff. And they let me work there for some reason. And on my 16th birthday, because back then when you turn 16, of course, kids these days, they don't want to drive. But I got my driver's license on my 16th birthday, and I walk into the music shop, and I'm telling everybody, guys, look, I got my license. And in quick succession, I told a whole bunch of lies.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have car insurance. Yes, I can drive a van. Look, I totally know my way around downtown.
Right.
And the guys who ran the shop said, well, we're going to send you on this delivery. And they load up this van and send me to this school downtown. And I finally get there, and I walk into this school, and I'm thinking to myself, this is a high school? Really? My high school was surrounded by barbed wire and police out front, and had 2,500 students. And this place, I remember thinking, where's the barbed wire?
Right.
And why does everyone here look so happy? And it was cool. There's all these young musicians around, all these actors, there's dancers. It was like something out of Fame, you know, the spontaneous choreography breaking out everywhere.
Through the hallways, like during passing periods?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm carrying in all this gear thinking, this is the coolest place in the world. I want to hang out here.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman who was the principal at the time, she... In 1992 America, you could do this. She kind of let me hang out and help. Mm-hmm. And she would let me... So I was sort of an intern for a few years.
You weren't a student?
No.
Okay.
I went
you still had to go back to barbed wire school.
I did. And I would leave a little early some days. And then I'd come down to this school. And the woman who was the principal, after a few years of this, she pulls me aside and says, well, what are you doing? It is what I'm setting up the sound system for the jazz band.
Right.
What do you mean? You asked me to. And she said, no, with your life, what are you doing? And I said, well, that's easy. I'm going to be a rock star. And she says, you're going to be a high school teacher. You are clearly going to be a high school teacher. She made me go to college. I had just told my dad. I think my dad's listening. Hi, Dad.
Hey.
I had just told my dad, you know what? I'm not going to go to college. And this woman, the principal of the school, says, she makes me go. And she says, when you finish your degree, you're going to come back here and you're going to teach at this school. And
wow.
That's exactly what happened. I graduated on the 14th of August, 1998, and I was in front of a classroom on the 17th of August, 1998. And it's the only job I've ever had. It's the only place I've ever worked since that music shop in 1992.
What were you teaching?
I was a music teacher. I taught piano and drums. I taught the jazz band and... a couple other music classes.
Here's an interesting thing, because I think that it's an amazing career that you're on, and we, of course, want to encourage all students to take on the arts and do this as they can. Isn't it? Don't we want to though try and make some kids dream like they can be rock stars, or is it imagine of chase those dreams but also have a nice backup plan to reality?
Oh no, that's exactly the thing. Every student who walks in the doors at the Chicago Academy for the Arts, when you're 14, you are dreaming big.
Yeah.
We want them to think that you're going to be the next Spielberg, that you're going to write the next great screenplay, you're going to write the next great novel, you're going to have a Sony Classical recording contract. We want them to be thinking along those lines, and many of our students go on and have that success.
Yeah.
We've got some amazing alums. Many go on to have great working careers just in the arts around town or in whatever city they gravitate towards, and some go on to do other things. But when you're young like that, the benefit of challenging what you think the limits of your potential are, there's limitless value to really explore, what can I really do in 4 years?
Right.
And whether or not you're actually going to end up being a ballerina or not, to really explore the limits of that in 4 years opens up so many doors for you later on in your life.
What do you guys teach that helps them get to wherever they are dreaming to be? Like, say I do want to be a ballerina. What do you offer me there?
Well, it's intense. So every day they have academic classes. Our students have academic classes from 8:30 in the morning until 1:30 in the afternoon.
So that, when you say academic, you mean the math, social studies?
That's
they still
all the
get
stuff
all,
you
reading,
expect
writing,
from
arithmetic.
High school.
Okay,
yep.
Yes.
Yep. Math classes, English, history, all of the things that you expect from school. Mm-hmm. And then at 1:30, they go into their arts classes. So they major in dance or visual art or music, animation, filmmaking and writing, musical theater or theater. And really the trick is, it's not magic. It's every day.
You don't offer a magic class. Oh, that's too bad.
We're out.
It's not magic, so never mind.
It's the work. It is the work. And they are immersed in these disciplines 15, mm-hmm. 20, 25 hours a week for 4 years. And if you do anything that much, that intensely, and you have the right mentors and you engage in it the right way, you're probably going to end up getting pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens to all of these students there, that if you dance for 20 hours a week, 30 weeks a year for 4 years, the progress is going to happen.
Yeah.
We're talking with Jason Patera, the head of school at the Chicago Academy for the Arts, and we're going to dive into this in just a little bit later, too. I think it's wonderful, and it's so great that these students get this opportunity. Is it also, I don't want to, just to kind of broaden out here, I go to a lot of schools for my job on the jam on WCIU, and a lot of them are great schools, but they don't have arts programs, or the arts programs are losing value, and any chance we can give them to perform or play is like a huge deal. I mean, we have a real crisis in our school systems right now, especially ones that don't have as much of resources, of losing the arts. How much of a danger is it for schools that, you know, not necessarily the Chicago Academy for the Arts, for these other schools to lose their art programs?
It's absolutely critical. It's a disaster. And I think the problem that we have in education is that we keep talking about the arts, framing it in how they're important for something else. So there's all this research that says, oh, kids who are in the arts, they do better at math, or kids who are in the arts have better attendance, or kids who are in the arts have higher graduation rates. And all those things are true.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is when you make the value of the arts about something else. If I'm a public high school principal and I got to get my math scores up and I have $50,000 to get my math scores up, I'm probably going to try and hire some better math teachers.
Right.
And so as soon as you make the arts about something else, they become really easy to devalue. What we have to think about is, why is this important just inherently?
Yeah.
What's the point? The arts, to me, are really about the capacity for imagination, the capacity for joy, and the capacity for community. And everything that you do when you immerse yourself in the arts, you develop these things. What's more important than that?
Mm-hmm.
What could possibly be more important than imagination and joy and community? So we have to focus on it. It's a crisis that if we let it go.
It's not auxiliary. It is a primary part of life.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk more after this on 720 WGN. WGN, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon, filling in for Justin Kaufman, who is off tonight to New York City. We're talking with Jason Patera, the head of school at the Chicago Academy for the Arts. Jason, you gave your dad a shout-out, which is great. And he then started calling you during the commercial break. Dad, we're still a little busy here.
Still on air.
I'd be totally remiss, and I'd be scolded for life if I didn't mention that my mother, who's listening, I believe still listening right now, was a public art teacher for many years at Westmont High School until she had her third son, my younger brother. Then she left teaching for a while to raise us, which must have been even more busy than anything can imagine. But then she went back. She taught at Downers Grove South, our alma mater. I don't know how many years, probably another 10 or 11 years. Mom will correct me. She'll send me a text here before the end of the segment. And that leads in nicely to the next thing, because she was a teacher at a public school. And shout out to all the any teacher at any school of any subject, but especially those arts teachers. And actually, I wanted to open it up to callers, 312-981-7200. If you've got a special shout out for someone that changed your life, an art teacher or something that moved you, that can maybe inspire a parent or a grandparent out there to enroll their kids in the arts, I think that'd be a really positive thing. And I'll do my shout outs later. But Jason, I wanted to mention that the Chicago Academy for the Arts is different than Shy Arts, which is a public school that has arts as a focus too, right?
That's correct. There are actually two arts high schools in the city of Chicago that have confusingly similar names. There's the there's the Chicago High School for the Arts. That's a CPS school. They call themselves Shy Arts. They're a little bit bigger than we are. They've been around for a little bit less than a decade, and we're the Chicago Academy for the Arts. We're an independent school. So for us, that means as an independent school, we can take students from all over the place. We're not just limited to the city of Chicago. So we have students from about half of our students are from the city, half commute from as far away as Naperville or Oak Park or Evanston. We've got a student who has a 3-hour commute both ways every single day, comes from Whitewater, Wisconsin.
What?
To our program. 6 days a week he does this.
That's incredible. Wait, 6 days a week? You guys are 6 days a week school, or?
You know what's cool about our school? One of the hardest things for me to do is get our students to go home. They love it there, and
it's because they got a 3-hour commute to go back. They're just hanging out until the traffic dies down.
It's a great place to be, and so a lot of times we have some classes on Saturdays, or we'll have rehearsal, or we've got rehearsal for something, or we're filming something, or something's going on. But a lot of them just show up, mm-hmm. and if we're closed on a weekend, I'll start getting texts from students.
Okay,
hey, what time is the building opening today? And I'll write back, okay, it's Sunday. Come on.
I'm not coming in.
And then they wear me down. Okay, all right, yeah, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Really? That's amazing that you have this relationship with these students independently. You know them, and they know you.
I know every single student in this school. It's a tiny place. There's only 130 students.
Okay.
There's about 50 teachers. And it's the kind of place where the principal isn't some anonymous guy in a suit that you only see if you're in trouble, mm-hmm. and the students aren't just some random teenagers who are a number on an ID. I know every single student in the school. I know where they come from. I know where their friends are. I know who their friends are, and they all have my cell phone number. And it's just there's a familial mentor kind of relationship with every faculty member in the building between these students. It's very close.
How do people get involved with the school? This is because we asked you during the break, if I have never touched a violin at age 14, I'm not going to your school to learn how to do that, right?
That's correct. Yeah, there's an audition process to get in, and the application process is pretty robust. So the first thing you've got to do is audition,
mm-hmm.
and in one of the six arts disciplines. And then you go through an academic review. So we're going to look at your grades and your essays and your test scores and how you behaved on your shadow day and all of those things to put together a complete look at what you're like as a student.
Mm-hmm.
And we accept about maybe a little bit more than half of the students who apply.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So it is pretty rigorous. I mean, it's rigorous, but a valuable process to go through,
right.
And to make sure that the student's a good fit.
Absolutely. Well, if it's not a good fit, we're all going to be miserable in a year. I'm going to be miserable. The kid's going to be miserable. The parents are going to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that the fit is exactly right. And when we get it right, it's like nothing else.
When's the process? When should people start thinking about getting their kid to start trying out? What ages are we talking about? And really, what months of the year do you start auditioning and stuff like mm-hmm. that?
We're grades 9 through 12.
Okay.
And applications are open right now. They're open for another couple months. And so someone who's interested can go to our website, chicagoacademyforthearts.org. And there's all sorts of pictures of really happy students doing epically cool things. And you can complete an application, schedule an audition, schedule a visit to the school, and then the process gets rolling from there.
Yeah, I was going to say, going back to how you said, you know, everyone has your cell phone, the students and stuff, what is it like after they leave? Are you still in contact with a lot of past students?
We are. Yeah, it's great.
Teachers and everything.
The alums come back all the time, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of fun when. So the alums will go off and they'll have a huge amount of success in whatever they do. Mm-hmm. Right now, one of our alums is one of the leads in Hamilton down the street.
Wow.
And when he comes back, though, we all just think, well that's Jose. And I knew Jose when he was 14 and before he was famous and before he was Hamilton, right?
Yeah.
And but that it's close, like family. So they come back and everyone's all excited and it's a lot of fun when they make it back.
I got to ask, because there might be some people listening who even they might have a talented student and they may be wondering financially, is this something that do you guys have any options for scholarships or anything for some of the students? Or is it do you guys have to do it all based on obviously they got to take care of all the income on their own or the payments for the schools? Mm-hmm. Well, not to get to the nitty gritty, but I know people will be wondering.
I love talking about this. We give away for a school of our size. We give away an enormous amount of financial aid every year. I think we awarded something like $1.5 million in financial aid. Wow. So if the fit is right and if a family qualifies for it, we're going to do everything we can to financially support them to come into the school.
Yeah, because I think that's a really important thing. Some people there's some amazingly talented kids that come from lower income families that could use a little boost. And it's nice to hear that you guys are able to provide scholarships. One more time, the plug for where people can find out more information.
ChicagoAcademyForTheArts.org. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram as well.
Mr. Patera, you can now call Jason. And my mom says that it was 30 years, so she did 13 at Downers Grove South and 17 at Westmont and raised 3 boys.
That woman is a saint.
Go, Marsha. All right, Jason, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much, friends.
Really appreciate it. All right, more coming up here on 720 WGN.